When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 303.
Under a sky of dust, a constant wave of tension on top of broken trust.
I feel like I don't know the song. I feel like I know the singer. Is this?
You can easily guess the artist.
Yeah, right? It's, okay, yeah. I didn't sound like him right away. Oh, okay, I do know the song. Oh, wow, yeah, bad. What's the name of the band again?
Linkin Park.
Linkin Park, obviously. It didn't sound like him right away. I thought it sounded a little bit like Billy Joe. I thought it was Green Day for a second.
That's what I said, Green Day.
Nope. All right, Linkin Park here on The Fan 304. It's a bad job out of me. Bad job out of Rodon. Bad job out of the Yankees. Bad job out of Boone. Bad job out of Cashman, if it makes you feel better. Certainly not a good job, as they're struggling right now. They are tied for first place. They have lost their lead. The pitching staff in particular has not given them an opportunity to even be in these games, and they are getting pounded. Four straight losses with Stroman on the mound tonight in a must-win. The Mets will play tonight as well. They will take on the surging Houston Astros, who have worked their way back to 500 after having a miserable season, dealt with injuries, still are dealing with injuries in the rotation. But they found a way, as I hope they would, because I still have visions of a Yankees-Astros playoff series. And if you think I'm fooling you, I want it. I want it bad. I want to beat the Astros so bad I can taste it. So I guess I'm still rooting for the Mets. It's hard to root for the Astros when I watch these games. I'll be rooting for the Mets. But in the back of my mind, I'm hoping the Astros make the wild card. Because I want them. Right now, they kick the crap out of the Yankees, there's no doubt. And you welcome anyone into Yankee Stadium, the Yankees are getting kicked. But the Mets will take their hot offense on against the Astros. I mean, in this offense, it's just a juggernaut. That's why I said yesterday. Yesterday, I know a lot of people treated it as Yankee disaster day. I didn't. I thought yesterday was Met positive day. Yesterday's show, I opened up with admitting I was 100% wrong, calling them dead after the losing the last two games of the Diamondback series. It just felt like they couldn't hold momentum. They had it. They had the meeting. They won two games. And then, boom, they get blown out and blow a save. It just felt like, forget this team. Just can't figure it out. And yet here they are, the hottest team in June after last year's June swoon, completely different this year. And the offense is just pounding everybody. And that's what it felt like for the New York Yankees. I know as bad as they are, and certainly this game maybe changes my mind a little bit as they got pounded by the Blue Jays too, but it just felt like the Yankees ran into a buzzsaw. That's what it felt like. It felt like this Met offense is just too dynamic, too good, top to bottom. Alvarez has changed this thing so much. Obviously, Vientos becoming what he's become has changed this lineup so much. Lindor moving to the top of the order has changed the lineup so much. I mean, there's just right now, and as you saw the video of them, you know, singing the Oh My God song that's become so popular. They're all dancing together. The vibes are good. The vibes are completely different than Lopez throwing his glove into the stands and needing a team meeting and having the captain of the team, no doubt, Francisco Lindor, talk about other teammates, you know, preparation. It has completely changed. Completely. And that's what I would point to for Yankee fans. It can completely change. It has. In the opposite direction for the Yankees, it can come back again. The season is not over. And somehow that makes me a shill. Somehow saying the season's not over on June, what is it, 27th, 28th? Somehow saying the season's not over at the end of June makes me some sort of crazy shill who just has no idea what he's talking about. Okay. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Let's get to Philip in Jamaica. What's up, Phil?
Hello, thank you. Thank you for my call. Always a pleasure talking to you.
Oh, thank you very much. What's going on?
Well, I want to talk about the Yankees. They're obviously in a rut. And when you're in a rut, it's almost like you need to light a fire. So what do you think of going young? play Cabrera every day. I like Cabrera. I think he probably doesn't play every day. Bring up Spencer Jones and wake up Soto and Judge. Not that I want to do it, but you need to light a fire. You need to make changes in the lineup for the offense and reunite. Get better again.
Yeah, no. Spencer Jones is nowhere near ready to play in the major leagues, and I don't want to break up. I need Juan Soto and Aaron Judge hitting in the first inning. It's a must.
The problem is,
unless you want to lead one of them off. What's up?
No, no, I'm not to bench any. Of course not. I'm saying to like.
I need them to face. I need them to hit in the first inning. I need them at the top of the lineup. I need them both in some way, shape, or form hitting one, two, or three. So if you want to hit Soto first, hit someone else second, and hit Judge third, we could talk about it. But I am not getting that pitcher is not getting through the first inning without facing Judge and Soto.
Yeah, but the problem is the bottom of the lineup is just much weaker. So if
I understand that. But what do you want to do? Make the top of the lineup weaker? Have lesser hitters hit more?
Yeah, put like Verbia there and put like Solo, break it up, and then have Judge hit four.
How does that help the bottom of the lineup?
It doesn't really help the bottom of the lineup.
No,
but
it doesn't.
It helps the cleanup. It helps the cleanup.
And it hurts the three hitter. I'm sorry. I don't see the benefit of doing that. I just don't see the benefit of doing it. Putting him back to cleanup, why? So he gets less at bats. You want Judge to have less at bats. You want in the fifth inning, somehow miraculously enough, if you can imagine this, I want you to hold your disbelief. But the nine hitter gets on, walk, hit by pitch, error. You know, it wasn't a base hit or anything. So. But say the nine hitter gets on. Say your man Cabrera. You want to play Oswaldo Cabrera every day? Okay. Cabrera's hitting ninth. He gets on. Right? Catcher's interference, better yet. Catcher's interference. The nine hitter gets on. Volpe draws a walk. Soto draws a walk. Base is loaded. Here comes Verdugo. Because you decided to hit him third instead of Judge. No, thank you. Ryan and Mawa, what's up, Ryan?
Hey, Chris, thanks for taking the call, man.
You got it, buddy. What's going on?
So I'm a huge Mets fan. I've learned throughout the years that nothing lasts forever, so I'm loving what they're doing
right now.
Well,
look at you, this level-headed nothing lasts forever thought process. I like it.
So I'm thinking, you know, Vientos as hot as he is right now. If you're David Stearns, are you thinking, hey, maybe I try and level out this farm system that's so top-heavy with position guys that are going to be coming up in the next year or two? Do I try and trade a guy, sell him high with Mark Vientos, and try and kind of stack my pitchers? Because like you said before, the volatility with free agent pitchers is just so up and down. Like, I'd rather spend my money in free agency on position guys, but the volatility is not as strong.
Yeah,
and you know, try and even out my minor league system with some pitchers because all their tough guys.
Okay, I get that argument. Why Vientos?
Just because, you know, he's so good right now that he gets such a big haul for him, and he's at a position where they have some depth. Like, you know, Brett Beatty's sitting right there waiting. There's Alex Bregman, who, you know, has been linked to the Mets in free agency this next year.
But why not?
You know, I kind of
if you want to do something like that, why not JD Martinez?
This is only a 1-year contract.
I don't know what you think Vientos off of a couple of good weeks here and having failed last year is going to get you this unbelievable. Yeah, he's under control for a lot, no doubt about it. What do you think you're going to get, like two or three top level pitching prospects when you can get? For JD Martinez, you're going to get at least one. JD Martinez, right now, you thrust him into a playoff race. You're in a team that needs a bat. You're going to get their top pitching prospect or one of their top pitching prospects. I'd rather do that and get one of them and then keep a young Vientos. Like I don't want to trade away young controllable players to get other young controllable players for unproven. Even more, even you want to trade away a what seems to be right now a somewhat proven major league young controllable player for more unproven controllable young major league players. Like I'd rather trade away J.D. Martinez and Severino and try and get stuff back and still go attack this season. And I hate that idea too, but I'm certainly not trading away Mark Vientos, who's been one of the main cogs in the wheel that's turned this season around.
Yeah, the only thing with that is, like we said, there's not really going to be many sellers this year. So the buyers
you open,
are going
to
be
open,
more.
You open more buyers to a player of his magnitude and his longevity and contract, no doubt. That is fair.
Right.
What's fair is a player under control for as long as he is helps you. But then my point would be, are you afraid he's going to fall half? You're going to fall apart in the second half of the season? Because my argument would be that sounds like an off-season trade, that you would still get as much as you can. Like if Vientos plays well the rest of this year, you could have a major piece in the off-season to bring in a bunch. Why? I still want to win right now. I'm afraid I don't want to trade Vientos off this team.
Right. I do agree that it could be a better off-season trade for them.
Yeah.
It's just I
you're seeing Vientos killing it, and you don't know the faith you have in him. So you're thinking,
right,
I have a ton of value.
How great would it be for you guys to be able to go back and say, after 2018, we're going to sell Gleyber Torres?
Sure.
And, you know, I can see the correlation there a little bit. Two big prospects, big righty bats, and a little bit of volatility when it comes from, but, you know, he sucked last year, he's good this year, and maybe sell high on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting idea that I totally disagree with and that you shouldn't be thinking of right now as the team just hit 500 and is looking like a playoff team. It shouldn't be on the forefront of your mind. I get it. I hear what you're saying on some level. I think it's much more of an off-season trade than it is an in-season trade. But here's the thing. You even said Gleyber Torres. Fine. You're right. It would be great to go back and trade Gleyber Torres. What if we made that decision about Aaron Judge? What if you made that decision about a prospect that hit? Like, what if you traded away, you know, a great player? It's the reward for Vientos being this, the reward for Vientos being a 35 home run hitter for the next 5 years under control is pretty damn appealing to take a risk on other players that you hope are nearly as good. I understand you want to, but the other thing is the pitching is actually better than you think. Like, yes, the big time prospects that are supposed to come up and really impact the roster and that they've acquired over the last little bit. Yeah. A lot of them are position players, but let's be fair. The, you know, Christian Scott, Buto, they've actually, there's a, what's the other kid's name? I forget off the top of my head. But they've actually had some guys emerge in the starting, in the pitching department, and it's actually a little bit better than you think. Now, I'm open to bolstering it. I think that's what this guy, I think that's ultimately what they want to do. They went into the season with that as the, yeah, I mean, listen, if they were going to win, great. No one hates winning. That's why I think they're going to change their minds. But I think if you ask them what they wanted to do, Stearns and Steve Cohen, the thought process would be, we signed J.D. Martinez in hopes of trading him. We signed Severino in hopes of trading him. Getting them going, playing well, move them, get prospects. I think that's what they wanted to do. Then whatever was going to happen with Pete Alonso, you could possibly sell Pete Alonso. I think that's what they were looking to do. But winning changes all that. And like, you can't trade away a Vientos right now who looks like he could be a 35 home run guy every year. Like it's a short term, no doubt. But the reward of what he can be, it outweighs the risk or outweighs trying to get somebody else for him. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I could do that.
I mean, if you're trying to trade him, the same argument could be made for Francisco Alvarez, right? Because he's 22
Correct.
Years old and great.
Correct. Now, he's done it for more. He was good last year. His point was he was bad last year, to the point where the Sal Licatas of the world desperately wanted to sign J.D. Martinez and boot him back to minor leagues, like where Alvarez was... has had his injury issues, but for the most part, besides maybe the first 2 or 3 weeks when he first came up, I mean, he's been good. He's always been good. And he plays a premium position. But yeah, you can get a ton for Alvarez. You could shape your entire farm system if you want to trade away Alvarez.
or he's the cornerstone of your franchise.
And I'd rather do that. Yeah. I'd rather do that. That's my point. I'd rather have Vientos play third for the next 10 years and be what he's been here than take a chance on a couple of starting pitching. I mean, listen, how fickle is pitching? And let's be totally honest. The players are more valuable than the pitchers. They just are. In today's baseball, they're more valuable with the bullpen. Everything. Yeah, you get into a short playoff series, sure. Starting pitcher is important. Over the course of the season, when Vientos can play 155 games and a starting pitcher starts 28, it's not even close. And if he goes five innings, we give him a huge standing ovation and a pat on the back. Like, it's a completely different world. And I would much rather have Vientos and have him pan out than a starting pitcher pan out.
Plus, you're seeing guys like Cody Poteet come up and give you five great innings against the Dodgers. Like,
I would not be looking to make a Vientos trade. But if I did, it would be in the offseason. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. Quick break. Come back. Continue to take your phone calls. We'll get to the Knicks and their second-round pick and the wheeling and dealing of Leon Rose and Leon Rose We Trust. And as exciting a Knicks season as we're going to have around here in a long time. And we are going to, first of all, one, it's the one team that unites us all. And so the idea that we are going to go in with as much enthusiasm, excitement, and expectations of a Knicks team since the late 90s. I mean, this is going to be a fun, fun Knicks season. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on the Fan.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 325. Mick Monagle here with you. 888. Just can't wait. I know this band, that's for sure. My sister was nuts with them. And she's one of those people who get like mad when, like, she was like Indian. Anytime a musical band or an act that she liked got popular, they were sellouts. You know those people. You know those people.
Mine's almost over.
So, like, yeah, she was a big Blink-182 fan for a while, and then they got super popular with like all the small things. She was like, that's it. Done with all this. Done with them after that album. And after that big hit. Once they became popular, that was it. What was the other one? Taking Back Sunday. There was like another band she was into. And then they had that song Cute Without the E or something. It became popular. And suddenly she was like, that's it. Not listening to Taking Back Sunday anymore. Let's get back to the calls. Mike and New Rochelle. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, man. Happy weekend. Good Friday. Friday.
Let's How's go. Summer going? Friday. Hopefully the weather's nice. I'm going to be going to a carnival, taking the kids to a local carnival today.
Me and my daughters, I got an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. So, like, where I live in New Rochelle, like, the closest I got, I live, like, 8 minutes away from, like, Orchard Beach, which is not really a beach at all. But, you know, so... This weekend, we're going to get up at like 5:30 in the morning, and we're going to truck it out to Jones. And, you know, I got to keep them tight because those are real waves. But, you know, good weekend coming up ahead. But the week behind was even better. One of the best New York sports weeks for me as a fan. You know, every possible hit for me, you know, I'm a Met fan and playing the Yankees and, you know, the whole Knicks stuff was fantastic as well. But if the Mets keep trending, and I think they will, and I think that last call is crazy, honestly. We finally have a corner third baseman that plug in for multiple years, and this is the basis of my call. Since he never got a shot with Buck, and you know, our new manager, like, he knows a lot of these players, like, he knew about Iglesias ahead of time. He knew about Bader. He knew about Severino. Like, he wasn't done yet. Like, he knew he could tweak him and stuff like that. But he gave those a shot, sent them down, tweaked a couple of things, brought them back up, and here we go. But here's a player that I think would help. I said this to Sal and BT. They kind of agree with me. One player I think for the Yankees and the Mets, since they love in the Mets corner, since the franchise has been questioning, you know, about Beatty a lot. You know, I would throw Beatty and McNeil for Chisholm. And if I was the Yankees, I would throw a couple of players, nothing major, because I don't think they're not going to be asking anything major, but wouldn't you think Chisholm would be a really good fit for both teams?
Yeah, I mean, solid player, speed. Let me take a look at how he's, I don't know exactly off the top of my head how he's hitting right now this year. I know he dealt with some injuries earlier in the year.
Well, he's playing on a little league team, so he's got no protection or anything like that.
I'm saying, oh no, he didn't have many injuries. That was last year. He only played 97 games. And he only played 60 the year before that. Jeez. He is currently hitting 260 with a 764 OPS, 10 home runs, 37 RBIs. Yeah, I mean, and he's converted to center field. I'm getting some weird feedback on your line, buddy. I'm going to let you go. Thank you for the call, though. That is someone, yeah, I mean, listen. And unfortunately, here's the main point. As much as it's about Chaz Chisholm, and he is solid, absolutely. I just don't know if the Marlins would do it. I don't know how many years before he's a free agent. I think he's got two more years. But the issue is, and what you've hit on here, is that that's where you got to look. You got to look at Colorado. You got to look at Miami. You got to look at Oakland. Like, there's right now four teams that you know are going to be stellars at the deadline. Like, really? Like, hardly any. Like, it's in the National League, it's Miami and Colorado. That's it. In the American League, you could argue the Blue Jays are now selling. For sure, the White Sox are selling. The Tigers are right on the precipice, but they might hold on. I have a young team already, so they... and then Oakland and L.A. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4. There are four teams may be selling in the American League, and in the National League, it's just two. So that's the point. You got to look at Miami. You got to look at these teams and who's on there that'd be willing to sell, because you can't even go to the Reds. You can't go to Pittsburgh at 8.5 out of the division because they're within a couple games of the wild card. Like right now, it's just things might shake out, but as of right now, there's not a lot of places to go. It's going to be a while. Like, this is the team for the Yankees, especially. Like, the Mets, yeah, you want to add that. The Mets are streaking right now. Mets have a big series, and it could always go the other way, but right now they're playing very, very well. The offense is just pounding every single starting pitcher they see, and they're taking an Astros team here later tonight. But for the Yankees, like, this is the team. That's why I was going on and on about they need Gleyber Torres. People are like, what do you mean they need him? He's a bum. Don't play him. They need him. Can't just sit Gleyber Torres forever, and especially till the trade deadline before there's an option to improve, if that even happens. Second base seems like a part that's not going to happen. You need a corner infielder. You need pitching. Like, I don't know if they can be able to get a second baseman, too. Now, you want to say play Cabrera? Okay, Cabrera against lefties has been terrible. He's so bad right-handed, he's almost given it up. You need Gleyber Torres. As frustrated as we are with him, and hopefully you got, a stern talking to. And that's the other thing. Like, people just assume because Boone defends his players at ridiculous lengths. Like last night, for example. Ridiculous. To say anything other than he was terrible is just ridiculous. He was talking about, working through, wanting the ball, I had to send the reliever back, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, great. I was even surprised John... Flaherty in the broadcast booth on the television was, this is going to go a long way with teammates. A long way with teammates? He's the reason they didn't have an opportunity to win. I mean, I get it. I get it. But it's just to say that, he worked through some things. He got a lot of strikeouts. I mean, come on, Boone. Just say he was terrible and it's a freaking problem. Just appease people. Michael in Valley Stream. What's up, Mike?
Yeah, Chris, I wanted to talk about the Yankees, if I could vent a little bit. I mean, this team has been an absolute abysmal, man. I mean, I don't know, Chris, this does not look good, man. I mean, this gives me shades of 2 years ago. I mean,
You really think this team?
Well, they won 99 games, and the team 2 years ago won 99 playoffs and won the division.
I know, but this is a show of concern. The whole rotation's bad right now. The pitch, the bullpen's horrible. The offense is horrible. There's a scenario where the Yankees could. I know they have the three wild cards and everything, but if they keep playing like this, I mean,
well, of course,
now they have what 16 games left.
I'll make it if they continue losing every game by 8 runs over the rest of the season, yeah, they're probably going to miss the playoffs.
I don't think it's going to continue.
I'm sorry. Good. I think they're going to play better. And it's not the entire rotation. Do you expect Cole to be terrible? He's been bad.
I don't think Cole's going to stay in a slump like this. But what I was going to tell you is, from now till July 15th, the Yankees have 16 games left to the All-Star break. If they don't have at least 60 wins or 62 wins, I don't see this team making the play. They have only 52 wins. They're stuck at 52 wins. They haven't won a game since last week.
Saturday. They're on a five game. They're on a five game losing streak. The Orioles just had a five game losing streak. Losing streaks happen. You're not wrong. Right now, there's a lot of concerns. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate for you and to tell you that it's not the end of the world. They're going to play better. This is a playoff team. It might not be a division winner, but this is a playoff team. They're going to the playoffs. They're going to figure it out. Judge and Soto alone in this offense. Verdugo's not going to be. Verdugo was 0-for-22. He's not going to go 0-for-110. Like, he's going to get it together a little bit. Gleyber Torres is going to get it together a little bit. The pitching staff's been great all year. The first 2 months of the season, the starting rotation, which is made up of pretty much the same pitchers, plus Cole, pitched to the best ERA in all of baseball. I do not think they're going to get to the point where they can't get anybody out. Like, they're going through a stretch.
The injuries on this team. I mean, you got Soto, Judge, and Cole all together healthy. I mean, there's no excuses. I look at the injuries on this team. There's no make-or-break injuries right now that's keeping this team from making it to the playoffs. Maybe the only exception is losing Stanton. But
Stanton.
They have to, like, get this together.
Yeah, no, they need a corner infielder. Stan's injury was tough, and then the other thing, Dominguez's injury was tough because Dominguez would come in and replace. They would replace
Stan. They're going to have a big trading deadline. I want to see what this team does at the deadline.
People don't remember it, but John Birdie is a good player. But John Birdie was traded at the and he went down. He went down like he was shot with a calf muscle injury. Like, he's got it. Hopefully, he's coming back. Hopefully, Dominguez, Stanton. Like, you got to give it some time. Right now, they're in a way, and I'm concerned. I don't want to say I'm not concerned. Yeah. Of course, I'm concerned. I'm really concerned. They played like terrible.
If you see Twitter,
like
the meltdown on Twitter is the Twitter on the meltdown on Twitter with these Yankees fans.
Well,
it's
people
like,
are crazy. I know you can't listen to it, man. You can't. Everything is doomsday. Everything is a disaster. You know, they're going through a stretch. There's no doubt. These games aren't even close. They're getting blown out every night. The Yankees are getting blown out every night. It feels that way. I mean, I know Nestor Cortez pitched a decent game on the rubber match of Atlanta, and they won the night before. But, I mean, the Mets just absolutely took it to them. And then this first game against Toronto, I've been talking about it all morning. Carlos Rodon is someone you can't trust. Carlos Rodon scares the hell out of me because anytime the slightest thing goes wrong, he's off his game. He cannot deal with adversity at all. If you watch that game last night, the second that ball hits, it's over. Look at that inning. And let's be fair to Carlos Rodon for a second. The inning's total BS. The inning is total BS. Right? I mean, he gets a hard hit ground ball that could have been an out, but it's a very difficult play for Volpe. No one's getting on Volpe. He's been great defensively. But that ball gets through. Then your back foot slider, IKF, and hits one off his toes. Then Vladimir Guerrero breaks his bat and gets jammed for a bloop double down the right field line. And then Turner hits a spinning ground ball that the first baseman just allows to hit first base. Like, that's a BS inning. But you knew it. You knew that not only was he not going to be able to get out of there with minimal damage. You knew it was going to be someone's going to hit a home run. He's going to give up 4 or 5 runs like this. He's not going to get a sacrifice fly or a ground ball to second. And like, he wasn't going to get out of there down 2 runs. You knew it. He's incapable of overcoming. He's incapable of picking up his teammates after mistakes. He cannot deal with adversity. We've seen it from the minute he's been a Yankee. From the injuries to coming back at the end of the year last year to his bad start in Anaheim and blowing the kisses there. Like, it's just too much for him. And he's a roller coaster of emotion. This one wasn't as bad, although he does show up Ben Rice, and you can't do it. He's a young kid. You got to be there for him. You got to put your arm around him and say, don't worry, bro, I got you. Don't worry, well, we'll get through this. It's all right, no big deal. Like, that's how you handle it instead of throwing your hands up. Now, he's not the first pitcher to do this. David Wells would do it all the time to Derek Jeter. So, but he's got to figure out a way to get past it, because the second things start turning in the wrong direction, you know it's a bloodbath. Like, that's what it's been with Carlos Rodon. It's been that bad. So
it goes further than that, right? Because did you have confidence in him going into the game to be the stopper?
No, I mean, I didn't expect him to give up 8 runs in the first 2 innings, no, but I thought he would give a rep. I had confidence that he would give a representative start. I thought he could. This lineup's been terrible. This lineup's been awful. Now, so is Atlanta, but I mean, prior to these last 3 starts, he had an ERA under 3. I mean, I know a lot of people do. I don't just ignore months at a time. I don't. I don't just ignore April and May because they're April and May. And I'm not ignoring now. I'm killing them. I'm concerned. I'm very frustrated by everything. I'm just saying, when they show me this for 2 months, then I'll say, hey, this is just as bad as the first. This is just as significant as the first 2 months. It's been 2 months, first 2 weeks. The 2 weeks have been brutal. There's a lot of holes. It's actually, hopefully shown the Yankees what they need to do at the trade deadline. But it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the season. Dan in Belmar. What's up, Dan?
Hey, C-Mac. What's going on, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Good. I think it's nice that you're bringing your kids to the carnival.
Thank you very much.
Instead of the carnival, you can bring them to a Yankee game, be like going to the circus.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, I think we're gonna take them to at least get the fireworks show. The only problem is the game will be over in the first or second inning, and I got to sit there and wait for fireworks. So we'll see.
Yeah, if Rodon's pitching, that's for sure.
Yeah, I got to do the math. It's against the Cincinnati Reds. I'm just praying that the New York Yankees might be able to just stay in there with the Cincinnati Reds.
Yeah, I think
Ellie De La Cruz is probably going to hit with 500
enough of a cushion. I think the Yankees have built up enough of a cushion where they're going to make the playoffs. I know the panic button's being hit pretty hard right now, but as a Mets fan, I know what that's like. I'm going to the game actually tonight against Houston.
Nice.
Excited for that. It's kind of we're playing our best baseball right now. Houston seems to be coming around, doing the same thing. See what happens. Also, fireworks night tonight. So,
is it? It's fireworks night at City Field? Nice.
Yeah, so we'll see how that is. But interested to see what the Mets do. I heard you talking with the previous caller about the deadline. Not sure how many games until the deadline, but, you said there's not a lot of sellers. I think the market will make itself, and, teams are going to be losing games and falling out of it. And I think even if they're still in it, if they're 4 or 5 games back, they're going to realize, hey, this isn't our year. Let's get what we can for these expiring guys, expiring contracts, and trade chips, and try and rebuild. In that regard, I'm excited to see what the Mets can do. I think it can kind of be, if they're still in it, playing good baseball, trying to make that wild card spot. They're obviously not going to overtake the Phillies for the division, but trying to make that second or third wild card spot.
Right.
I think it's it'll be a big moment for Stearns to see what he can do. Maybe do a little bit of both, a little bit of selling and buying. Guy I'm interested in would be Luis Roberts, obviously, from the White Sox.
Yeah.
Maybe unloading a guy like Marte and, couple him with a Beatty, a prospect that's been crushing it in AAA, and then supplement the roster and see what they can do in the playoffs.
All right, well, what you're going to have to give up for Luis Roberts?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a lot. Beatty's a good start.
No, it's not. I mean, he's failed. It's going to be Acuna. It's going to be your 2 top prospects for him.
Easy. I don't know. I think Beatty's still young enough, and he's hitting the crap out of the ball in AAA that they would take a shot on him. But I agree with you; it would take another prospect as well. Which I'm not sure if the Mets are comfortable doing that. But also, I think that a lot of these guys that the Mets got in these trades when Epler was GM, Stearns has no ties to these guys, so who really knows how he feels about them?
Right. No, absolutely. I think Stearns wants to build the team in his image, no doubt about it. And that's why I just find it hard to, and thank you for the call. As much as Luis Roberts, got a world of talent, I mean, you're going to have to give up. Like, I don't think... I think you're looking at Jet Williams, and those are guys, and Beatty's clock's already started, too. Like, that's the other thing. But I think you're looking at Jet Williams, Drew Gilbert. Like, those are the guys they're going to want. Acuna. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Dan? How you doing, my man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm all right. Yo, you know, this, all of this tonight just goes right back to what I keep telling you about before. Like, when I say, like, as much as I love my New York fan base, we just not built for times like these. You know, 2 weeks ago, we were or 3 weeks ago, it was Cashman was a genius. Look at the team he built. And all of a sudden now it's run him and Boone out of town, blow up the whole team.
Yep.
We're not built for, and if they were to blow up the whole team, I don't know that we could even survive the things that you would go through when you do stuff like
I've
that.
I've been saying that forever. I've been saying that forever. Everybody clamors. Everyone thinks the blowing it up and rebuilding is fun until you go
through
it.
We're not even built for good times. Why would we be built for that?
Yeah, we're not.
I got five names for you that solves everything between my Yankees and a tiny little concern what's going on with my Knicks, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to go through the first three that are Yankee names, all right? First name, Brian Cashman. The stuff that's going on with the, like, you know, as far as, like, that those positions that we need, whether it's the infielders on the corners or the bullpen, whichever one he goes at, he's going at all of them. Remember, now, Cash is the guy that got us Rizzo. Back in the same time that we cried about Gallo, he got us Rizzo that same trade deadline.
Yeah.
Cashman is name number one that's going to solve a problem. And I'm throwing in Boone a little bit with that because I like how he's talking these days. I like the way that he's, you know, like I told you before, it's a rough patch and it's adversity. And this is going to be something that later on, Boone said it today too, is later on, as much as it sounds kind of like, you know, a little bit like, I don't know, like I'm making it up, but these are the kind of things that might actually mean something later on that we might look back on and say, thank God we did go through stuff like this to help us. But the next name that I'm giving you that's going to help us again is going to be Judge. And it's because the captain right now, the same way the Mets had their moment where they got their time, where they called their little team meeting and now everybody's talking about Lindor, and it's not going to be something that's big and bold and all out in the open for everybody to see. But like the moment with Gleyber and all that stuff like that, he's got to pull somebody like him close and just like the team itself. Because offensively, like, you know, as much as they talk about the pitching and all that stuff like that, we had times when we started these games with bases loaded and we didn't get any position where we were in a spot where we could make the pitchers feel comfortable going in to start their frames. You know what I'm saying? So it's part of it too. The next name I'm giving you is Matt Blake, because some of what's going on with our pitching, it's the stuff that's happening with where guys like Heald, his velocity is still up there. So I'm not worried about that. It's the secondary stuff and the feel for pitches. Carlos Rodon, he's going to be a little bit of a scare because his mentals right now is not right. And I don't know that Blake can reach him. But Blake is the guy that's going to start, because right now we have started rotation problems. And I think Blake just needs to make a couple adjustments. You know, with Cole, it's just him just working up to get to where he's ready to go and things are working. But with everybody else, and I'm not worried about Nesta, I'm not worried about Stroman. So clearly we're talking about Rodon and Heald. Blake is going to be the guy that's going to fix that. So that's the name that I'm throwing out right there that solves that. And that solves my Yankee problems. I'm not worried about anything. This is just a rough patch.
Right.
With the Knicks, the two names I'm giving you with the Knicks.
And just give them to me back
Leon
together.
Rose,
yeah, Leon Rose
and Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah.
Because everybody's talking this stuff about Hartenstein and whether or not, and I love Hartenstein. Trust me when I tell you I love him. But keep in mind now, even when the season started this past season, until Mitchell Robinson got his problem where he got, you know, his injury woes, he was actually the starter. Hartenstein is somebody that we developed and turned into what he is. And I think Leon Rose, if it had to be, and I want Hartenstein to come back. I'm hoping that they do find a way to keep him, to get him back. But if it is that we lose him, I feel confident that Leon Rose could find that guy. Because remember now, Hartenstein was somebody that was a throwaway off of somebody else's roster. And he found him, and Tibbs developed him. So I know. And there's a bunch of big name, like big bodies that are out there that are going to be floating, the Drummonds and all those kind of names that are going to float up and stuff like that. If we need to, and we have to play that let Robinson be bully up front defensively and then bring in another offensive guy that we develop just like that, mm-hmm. I feel comfortable with that. Right now, those are the five names that I'm giving you. Like I said, the Knicks one is not really a big problem, just a tiny concern. But those are the five names that I'm giving you.
I think you got it, Val. Thank you very much. The five is the only thing we're concerned with right now, I would think. I mean, after signing OG Anunoby, you got to try. If you could bring back Hartenstein, great, because I love his passing ability with this team. You could play that inside-out game a little bit. Just have someone who his offensive skill set suits the team better than certainly Mitchell Robinson, who is a straight-up rim protector and defender. But it sounds like they're... I mean, they might be on. I don't think Hartenstein's going to come here because, as a player, like, he can't turn down money. Like, let's just be honest. Hartenstein's not going to turn down money, and it sounds like more money is coming elsewhere. And then there are a lot of rumors that they've been looking to trade Mitch for a while. So I don't know who is going to be the five. I mean, you could theoretically, if you didn't get a very good five, you could move Randall, I suppose, to the five at times. I wouldn't do it a lot, but they're going to have to figure something out. But and I trust, to your point about trusting Leon Rose, I mean, it's not even. I mean, his player evaluations over the last year have been off the charts. I mean, just think of every move he's made since Brunson, practically. I mean, he got Brunson, he got Hart, he got DiVincenzo, who got better and emerged here. Hartenstein kind of came out of nowhere, 100%. Trade for Anunoby, forget about it. It completely moved the team into a different realm. It changed everything about them.
Even drafting guys like Quickley and Deuce McBride in the second round.
Yeah. No, Deuce McBride's a great second round pick. And they had, they drafted Tyler Kolek from Marquette last year, 2 years ago, was player of the year in the Big East. Another player, Big East familiar, plays in Madison Square Garden. Guard, they did a lot of wheeling and dealing, traded a lot of the picks, obviously. They drafted the guard from France in the first round. But I think this, I think they drafted someone who can help the team this year, be, you know, someone who's hard nosed, can play both ends of the court, shoot a little bit, had a better year his junior than his senior year, but another guy who played a lot of college basketball inside the Big East, I think he'll fit right into this team. I trust that he will. I mean, I think they've just done an incredible job. Leon Rose is as good as an executive, and I said this before, joking about Brian Cashman. Like, right now, you can't argue. I mean, I guess, you know, Chris Drury with the Rangers right now, the two best executives are at Madison Square Garden. There's no doubt. Those are the two best executives in this town. I mean, listen, I think Joe Douglas has done enough where there is a chance that the Jets are having a really special season. I still believe in this team. I believe in their defense. I believe in the offensive weapons they have along with Aaron Rodgers. So I could see the Jets being really good. But right now, before that were to even happen, it's not Joe Shane. It's not Brian Cashman.
Even Douglas has Hassan Reddick and Zach Wilson on his conscience, right?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, no. So we'll see. But I trust everything Leon Rose does. There's no doubt about it. His player evaluation has been great. I mean, just Brunson alone. Like, I understand he has the connection to Brunson, but just Brunson alone. I mean, the Knicks were, I mean, the move wasn't necessarily laughed at, but the hype around the move and the money, like, it was like, oh, the Brunson sweepstakes. Some sweepstakes. Like, nobody believed that this kid was anything other. Stephen A. Smith, is he even a three? I mean, that was the talk of Brunson. He's become a superstar. I mean, I know DiVincenzo got a lot of time after the injuries and everything, but the amount of threes he took, the amount of threes he hit, like the energy he's brought, the way they played in the playoffs, what Hart can do to you. Hart's a player who dominates a game without even being on the floor. Like, so there are real, real positives. And he has done an incredible job. And I don't think there's any doubt. Whatever he does, I'm going to have faith in. And he's brought back OG, traded for Bridges. And right now, this Knick team, I would, as deep as any team in the NBA, maybe not quite as talented at the top, especially now that Bronny's in L.A. I mean, they're just going to, I mean, and if you hadn't heard, LeBron James' son, Bronny James, was drafted, what was it, 55th overall in the second round. And, you know, I don't know how to feel about it. I don't really care, to be totally honest with you. I mean, about the nepotism angle of it, or, you know, we all know, you know, they're telling teams not to, he's going to go to college, he's going to, in the portal, and he's going to go back to school if you draft him, telling everybody not to draft him, and then sure enough, he's a Laker, and, you know, I saw the video of him crying and getting emotional, and I understand that. It's a huge moment to, but I mean, I also feel bad for him because there's got to be some sort of sense of, I didn't do this on my own. Like,
yeah, you'd have to be self-aware to have that sense.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be kind of self-aware, I guess. But it would be hard for me to not be that self-aware, to just understand, like, all right, I did this. Nobody, even if it's not true, nobody believes I did this on my own merit. I'm going to be living in my father's shadow. I'm going to play this game. And here's the other thing, too. Like, I'm sure they're going to have fun at practice. But LeBron James wants to win. I don't think LeBron James is going to be like, yo, JJ, put Bronny in. Like, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Why not? I mean, why stop here?
Yeah, I don't know. I think getting him to the team is enough, working with him every day. You know, maybe getting to his game to where LeBron does feel like, maybe you could help him get to his game, or get his game to the elevated play where he is someone who plays enough. But, like, I don't know.
Well, why? He got them to draft him, though, meaning
yes.
He could have just been signed as an undrafted free agent, right?
Yes, I suppose, yeah.
So the fact that he got them to use a draft pick on him,
yeah.
I don't know. And his podcast co-host is the coach of the team.
No, I hear you. I think LeBron James wants to win. And if he doesn't deem that to be an angle or a player who helps the team win, I just don't know if he'll do it. These guys want to win. This is the end of LeBron James' career. He wants to win another championship. Like, do you think he would make the team worse at the extent of his son? Like, I just don't know. I don't know. I guess you could argue he already has, but...
Exactly. Yeah. And the team's not good anyway.
That's a good point, yeah. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. We'll come back one more hour until 5 o'clock. Baseball. Carlos Rodon absolutely gets torched in Toronto for the Yankees' fifth consecutive loss. He shows no ability, none, to deal with any adversity. He had a wacky first inning, and you knew exactly what was going to happen. He was going to get whacked himself. It wasn't as good. He was going to be doing the whacking. No, that's not it. He was... he got shellacked. Because you know that's what's going to happen the minute he faces adversity. And now he is in the middle of it. This is now his third consecutive just absolutely dreadful start. He's got a lot to answer for, the contract. But every time he's in it, he has to face any adversity, whether it be last year, these starts, the first inning, he folds under the pressure. And this is a $160 million man the Yankees are expecting to make playoff starts and trust. How could you? As they get pounded again, the Mets will take on the Houston Astros later tonight. So baseball, last half hour of a fun summer Friday. McMonagle here with you until 5 o'clock, 888-808-1019. We'll be right back after the update, taking your phone calls till 5 a.m. in the warm-up show.